This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Fina Fanua, Fakatalofa Atu. The international community is yet again under the spotlight for its lack of urgency towards climate action for Pacific nations. Oxfam in the Pacific says countries which account for the greatest levels of emissions need to step up and show leadership now. This comes as recent surveys reveal that climate change is slowly driving vulnerable communities into poverty and hunger. The NGO's humanitarian lead in the Solomon Islands, Cameron Ngatulu, says with COP27 coming up, the importance of collective responsibility is the way forward.
Just to give those talks the best chances of success, it's vital that wealthy countries or the bigger countries that emit more show leadership. For example, G7 alone is responsible for nearly 40% of the carbon emissions, while the G20 for more than 3/4 of that. They have a big responsibility, especially to the Pacific region, and they also have the capacity and resources to tackle climate change.
Mr. Ngatulu says that industrialized nations must be more responsible in tackling climate change, as many other countries will begin to follow suit. Solomon Islands Prime Minister Manase Songavare has reportedly told fellow Pacific nations he will not sign a declaration under discussion at the U.S. Pacific Summit in Washington. Reuters reports it has seen a note from the Solomon Islands government, which says it has prompted further concern over the country's ties to China. This development comes amid intensified competition in the Pacific after the Solomons and China signed a security agreement. This led to warnings the region was becoming more militarized, a claim that Solomon's Prime Minister Manase Songavare has dismissed on several occasions. Washington has acknowledged it has not paid the Pacific enough attention over the years and has been working closely with allied and partner countries to add more resources, more capacity, and diplomatic engagement. In Fiji, as Fijians await the announcement of this year's general election date, there's controversy around the string of recent electoral amendments introduced by the ruling Fiji First government. The amendments give greater power to the supervisor of elections, Mohamed Sanim. Victoria University politics professor John Franco says there are concerns the amendments are aimed at silencing opposition parties.
A lot of different amendments, including amendments that dramatically increase the power of the supervisor of elections, amendments to the way that voters are registered, amendments that require parties to cost their campaign pledges, which I think the consequences of which will be that parties won't make many campaign pledges.
The United States has given Papua New Guinea over $3 million to help the survivors and those displaced by the violence that wrecked the country during the recent elections. The Post Courier says the money is earmarked for essential humanitarian programs. Nearly 90,000 people are thought to have been displaced by the violence, which escalated in May in a countdown to the poll in July. The UN Development Programme's resident coordinator in Papua New Guinea, Femba Kalua, told the paper that women and children were the most affected by the violence. An associate professor at the Griffith Asia Institute and a Vanuatu citizen, Tess Newton-Kane, says there is little incentive for former Vanuatu prime ministers to give up politics. This comes as five former prime ministers line up to contest the country's snap general election on October 13th. They are Sergei Vohor, Charlotte Salwai, Ham Lini, Sato Kilman, Joe Natuman, and the outgoing Prime Minister Bob Loughman.
In Vanuatu, as in other small countries, we don't really have much to offer our leaders beyond politics. So, you know, we have one president, so they could go down that route. We have a very small number of ambassadors that you might offer senior people that there's no real incentive for them to move out.
There are over 300 applicants vying for a position in Vanuatu's 52-seat parliament. The Human Rights Measurement Initiative has measured Pacific human rights issues for the first time using experts in the field. The initiative compares states to what their legal obligated human rights expectations are and tries to measure who is doing the best they can with the resources they have. Co-founder in the initiative, Chad Clay, says there are no databases that accurately collect data on human rights violations.
The best data available, which is the knowledge of researchers, advocates, lawyers, journalists, and others whose very work rotates around monitoring and understanding the frequency of civil and political rights abuses in their countries. We do this through a secure, anonymous online survey. And as of this year, we have scores for around 40 countries on each of these rights.
To sport, Australia has supplied the Solomon Islands with 850 new pair of training shoes as the country prepares for the upcoming Pacific Games in 2023. The Solomon Times reports Australia, saying it's proud to partner with the Solomon Islands National Institute of Sports to support all athletes training in a national squad for the Pacific Games. Funding support for the 850 new pair of training shoes were made possible through a grant awarded to the Institute by the Pacific Sports Diplomacy Fund. The 2023 Pacific Games is a multi-sport event for Oceania countries and territories set to happen from 19th of November next year in Honiara, the first time the Solomon Islands have hosted the event. The games were put back 4 months by building delays put down to the pandemic. NRL star Jason Taumalolo is facing a battle to feature in any of his Tongan team's Rugby League World Cup group games. The New Zealand-born forward, who switched allegiance to Tonga after winning 10 caps for the Kiwis, entered an early guilty plea after being charged with a Grade 2 offence for catching Isaiah Papali'i with a shoulder charge in the Cowboys' NRL finals loss to Parramatta. As a result of Rugby League's game-wide disciplinary rules on suspensions, the three-match ban handed down to Taumalolo will keep him out of Tonga's group games against Papua New Guinea, the Cook Islands and Wales, and he's not taking the implications lightly. The 29-year-old is demanding the sport changes its rules so that bans picked up for club teams only count domestically. Therefore, the only way to be banned for your country would be by playing International Rugby League, thus keeping the two separate, much like they do in association football. That's it for RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can find more updates at rnzi.com.